beginning, I say,
we're in line.
Page 10 and phrase 12.
Yeah. Hey, Brian. Close the doors. I meant to close off. Thank you. All right, we'll serenade whoever else makes it tonight with John 14 and Acts 4:12.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking about the song.
Well, it's a little known fact that Sunday was the 9th anniversary of the Obal invasion.
Yeah. Yeah. Called the Terrans.
And on that first Wednesday night was actually their first time with us when we were in the old building, and we sang this song. And we have it on. It's actually online.
I can still hear your laugh.
Oh, so did you play it the Wednesday and the Sunday? Because it was the first song when I was there, which was on Sunday. Mom had first song.
Okay, maybe
Wednesday.
It was your first Sunday. That,
Well, we're recording this from Sunday. Yeah. You might have played it on Wednesday as well.
Okay, whatever it was.
Research the archives and figure that one out.
All right, onliners, you can hear me now. I turned my mic on. We're going to sing John 14 and Acts 4:12. By the way, onliners, you can go to bbfohio.com and under resources, PDF downloads, and you can download our music. I think I need to upload the most recent one, but even if you upload the one we have now, it'll have this song in it.
Amen.
Page 10, John 14 and Acts 4:12. Play that again.
John 14 and Acts 4:12. You don't believe me, then you're gonna go to hell. You won't get away from calling Jesus a liar. And all who reject the way end up in the fire. God has given us all free will. We can choose to run or just stand still. We can read His word or just let it lie. Trust in Him or run till we die. But one of these days judgment will come. When the day comes, there's no place to run. John 14 and Acts 4:12. You don't believe me, then you're going to go to hell. You won't get away with calling Jesus a liar. And all who reject the way end up in the fire. Jesus said it is, and that makes it so. What you believe decides where you go. Neither is the way to heaven to stay. Jesus is Lord.
Thank you.
nursing rehab center, and so I'm doubtful that she's watching tonight. But if she is,
we love you.
We love you, Doris. We're praying for you. Any Ken down south watch this? You visit her in the next few days. Let her know. I'm not sure how soon I'll make it down there, but glad to know she's doing a little better.
Okay.
Amen.
Page 20 in the praise book.
I keep getting to turn my mic on when I'm talking, so I hope they heard that.
20, sanctuary.
What a fellowship, what a joy divinely near.
All right, onliners.
Get your prayer requests in. We received a couple already from onliners at bbfohio@protonmail.com. And I think everybody here knows the drill. Raise your hand for Janie's services.
Amen.
Fast, friendly, free delivery.
Amen.
In the meantime, checklist for our camera folks, sound checks, and cameras all zoomed in. And I'll tap on this real quick. All right. And now the reminder for your cell phone ringers.
Evening, Grandma Doris and everyone else. Grandma Doris.
Be in 1 Thessalonians 2, 7 to 12. Walk worthy of God. After our current events update, hold your questions and comments until after the current events update. Number one, the ugly truth. Children handed over for abuse by sodomites. I am giving you a very sanitized version of the following story. Some of us don't want to toss up those wonderful cookies we just ate that Kim made for us. But this is reality. Current events update is to let you know what most Christians are totally unaware of because, A, they watch the liars on our regular news where they cover up what's going on with Sodom. And number two, most of your Christian friends go to churches where they never bring this up because everybody goes to church because it's a time for everything to be pretty and flowery and make you feel good. Well, once in a while, the truth has to come out. This is from Mia Cathell from townhall.com. I investigated a suburban LGBTQ pedophile ring. My investigation reveals disturbing details about the gay activist couple accused of sodomizing their young adopted sons. Those boys are now 9 and 11. And distributing homemade child porn of the sexual abuse. This isn't just an outlier, or outlier, how would you say that? This is happening all over the country and all over the world as this stupid world pretends that Sodom can be normal. And they treat sodomite couples like married couples and allow them to take children into their homes. And this kind of stuff is happening all over the place. Not only did the gay married couple allegedly rape the two boys who were adopted through a Christian special needs adoption agency, they were pimping out their children to nearby pedophiles in Atlanta area suburbs. Again, that investigation can be found on townhall.com. And I emphasize, they were adopted through a Christian special needs adoption agency. Why? Because Christians are clamoring all over themselves to prove how loving they are. They care more about virtue signaling, about how much I love, and they care less about children. I care enough about children to tell the truth about sodomites.
Amen.
Thankfully, the adopted fathers, in quotes, William Dell Zulock Jr. and Zachary Jacoby, have been indicted by a grand jury on charges of incest, aggravated sodomy, aggravated child molestation, sexual exploitation of children, and prostitution of a minor. They're facing over 9 life sentences. I'm happy to tell you that when those two get in prison, they'll be killed. I am happy to tell you that. Because they should be executed by your government.
Should be hung in the town square.
Should be publicly hung. I agree. And you can get mad at me if you want, but I believe these two are damned. If you don't believe that living, breathing human beings go too far and God hands them over before they're dead, that's because you've listened to too many false teachers.
Amen.
I believe most sodomites are pedophilic and are dead men walking. I know for a fact that most unrepentant sodomites were abused themselves as teenagers. And instead of repenting toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ and seeking His restoration and healing, those who do that, they're another story. But those who don't do that turn into pedophiles. And I don't care if they're married and the only person you ever see them with is their old sugar daddy. They are involved in one way or another in pedophilic activities. And I will be justified in what I just said at the great white throne. Yeah. You'll see that what I'm saying is true, even if you don't believe it right now. Romans 1:26 says, "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections." Same-sex relations are not love. God says they're vile affections, and if you say otherwise, you're stupid. You're a fool. You think you're smarter than God. It's not love. Romans 1:28, the second part of the verse says, God gave them over. Twice in three verses, God tells you these people have been handed over. This time it says, to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient. It's a very nice and proper way to say what in the next couple of verses describe men with men, women with women. That's the kind of love that is satanic. And God hates it. He calls it an abomination. That means it makes Him want to vomit. And I've had people say, why do you talk so much about the queers? Number one, because I'm in the sodomite generation. This is the sodomite generation. It's the generation that Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. And number two, the reason I'm talking like this is because I have to make up for all the spineless, coward pastors who don't tell their people about this stuff.
Yep.
Luke 17:2, it were better for those two perverts and all other sodomites who get their hands on children, and I'll say this, for my own daughters and everybody else out there advocating for sodomites raising children, you all would be better off having a millstone tied around your neck to be cast into the sea.
Amen.
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 And I hope every relative, blood relative I know hears that from me about you if you're standing up with the queers.
Amen.
I don't want anything to do with anybody who's standing up with the queers. You call yourself an ally, get out of my presence. I want nothing to do with you because God wants nothing to do with you.
Amen.
Until you repent, and I don't think a lot of you ever will, because I think you're handed over too. I think this generation, we're seeing a darkness like we haven't seen since God killed all of you in the flood. And that's why He's going to kill all of you in a few years after the rapture. I preach the gospel to them, but I don't see many responding. How many of you see queers getting saved?
Only one.
I have had the pleasure. I'd love to see them all get saved. And I had the pleasure of leading one to the Lord when I was only a 2-year-old baby Christian. I thought, well, this ain't so hard. Same thing happened with a Mormon I worked with. I thought, well, what's everybody talking about? It's so hard to reach these people. Well, in the 30 years since then, I've learned that was beginner's luck, I guess. But listen, I'm telling you, I believe tonight.
Where's that?
I went through Wendy's down here on Bethel Road. Apologies, Johnny, but. Gave a butch looking lady an empty tomb tract. She wouldn't take it. Hand it back to me. So I set it on a ledge and I said, she said, we're not allowed to receive solicitations. That's a contradiction. Solicitations are when you're trying to take something. So I said, it's not a solicitation. This is a gospel tract. I don't need that. I said, well, yes, you do. Everybody needs it. Jesus died for your sins. And she said, what was it? The sky fairy? The sky fairy didn't die for anybody's sins. Yeah, she was nasty. And I said, well, you'll answer for that. And I just drove away. And I said on the ledge and she knocked it off. But listen, if you're not experiencing that, you're not around queers.
Yeah.
See, I just happen to be a magnet for those kind of... But my gaydar goes up and I go right at them.
Amen.
And they get nasty.
Yeah, amen.
And people say, well, maybe you should just back off a little bit. No, I told Jenny this. I've said this over and over. I'm going to be just as bold and brazen as any queer you ever met. I am not going to be outdone by the homos. Like most Christians are.
Yeah.
It's pretty hard not to be them
with. I'm not talking about that. I mean, as far as their brazenness about, you know, taking a stand for what they, you know, claim as their rights and that kind of thing. But, you know, we're standing out here on the corner. I had a sign that says, homosexuality is a choice. Turn to Jesus and be saved. They honked and yelled and flipped us off and spit at us. And then a car tried to drive up on the sidewalk and hit us. Right in front of where TJ's used to be. Right on High Street and Morse. So, anybody says, well, I don't have that experience. Well, that's because you're too busy bootlicking.
Yep.
You get out there and start preaching the gospel and hand them gospel tract and see what happened to you.
Amen. I know.
And number two, stage and spin. No, I'm not talking about how to get your whites extra white. I'm talking about the fake, pretend news media on your TVs. How many heard about the Greta Thunberg arrest? That's that little girl over there they're using. She's pretending to be a climate activist. She don't know what she's talking about. She's just being used. And I want to show you. Now, this is the video that was shown on news. And at first, this is what everybody saw about Greta being arrested for protesting the opening of a coal mine over there in Germany. Carrying that poor little girl out like that.
Yeah.
See how terrible that is? And that's what the whole world was shown. And it's a little bit slow motion, and that's my video thing did that for some reason. But now watch. Here's the reality. This was before they picked her up and carried her out. It's all staged. And they're taking pictures and laughing and giggling. There they are, see, making it look like they got a hold of her and got her in a stiff arm and all that.
Wow.
It's all just a big stage.
Wow.
And then they, okay, now we're going to pick you up there. We'll be, there we go. Okay, let's walk you up out of the mud. We don't want you to get muddy. And then that's what they produced. That's side by side there. And folks, they have shown CNN will have 20 or 30 people and they'll say, oh, the streets are filled. And then somebody else from back there take a picture and show there's only a handful of people. They've been doing that for years.
That's why they never showed the Trump crowds.
Yeah, and they never showed the Trump crowds.
Right.
Yeah. And they never showed the Joe Biden lack of crowds.
Mm-hmm.
So that you'd believe that 80 million people voted for that man. But the whole COVID pandemic was the same. It was staged and spun to make billions of dollars. If you didn't see it Sunday, I showed that they're now starting to admit that less than a third of those people who were called COVID deaths actually died with COVID as supposedly the cause. And I believe a lot of those people died of the flu and pneumonia that wasn't even caused by COVID. That's my own personal belief. I can't prove that. But they're admitting that a third or less died of COVID. This is from FDR. Quote, in politics, nothing happens by accident. If it happens, you can bet it was planned that way. He would know. But these guys love to admit this stuff. They love to just come out and tell you what they're doing. It's a thrill. They get a kick out of it. Yeah, and the truth is, we can't. But, see, we trust in God.
Amen.
I believe the stage is being set for the UFO alien invasion.
Amen. Yep. Say the truth is out there, and it might be terrifying. A just uncovered Defense Department summary of UFO-induced effects, ranging from abduction and paralysis to electrical shocks and even sexual encounters, is shocking the world tonight. The report, again, is from the Defense Department. But what does this all mean? How are we supposed to interpret it when talking about UFOs? Just starting this investigation, National Correspondent William Lajeunesse.
This is a few months ago, by the way. But I'm just showing you to remind you this.
Unidentified objects, balls of light suspended over the ocean, UFOs chasing warships, all part of a growing body of sightings of UAPs, or unidentified aerial phenomena. Now comes something even more explosive. A 1,500-page Pentagon report of previously classified documents cataloging accounts from witnesses and victims claiming radiation burns, brain damage, even paralysis after close encounters with UAPs.
This is the most haunting of all the reports from my perspective, because it shows immunological deficiency. It shows altering human DNA. It shows degradation on a cellular level.
Prepared in 2010 by the Pentagon's secret Advanced Aerospace Weapons Program, the report was released only after a Freedom of Information request. It found sufficient accidents have been accurately reported, and medical data acquired as to support a hypothesis that some advanced systems are already deployed and opaque to full U.S. understandings.
This is from within the documents themselves.
The report says humans have been injured from exposure to UFOs, from abductions and perceived time loss, to sexual encounters and unexplained pregnancies.
Now, I believe that stuff happened. I just don't believe it's aliens.
Yeah, absolutely.
Our government is doing this stuff. And I just showed you what they do. And they're setting the stage, folks.
Yeah.
I mean, if this country has enough people dumb enough to believe Joe Biden was elected fairly, then there's enough people, especially after the rapture, dumb enough to buy this alien invasion thing they're going to pull off.
Yeah.
And you know what God's going to do as a result? He's going to say, oh, you think that's something? Here's the real thing. Halfway through the tribulation, Revelation 12, Satan and a third of the angels are going to be cast down to the earth.
Yep.
And if you've been taught that happened in the past, it's because you listen to false teachers.
Yep.
That's future. Revelation 12. And all this is being done already ahead of time to explain millions disappearing in the rapture. Do you know there are people who actually are looking forward to the rapture because they have completely been deceived into thinking that the spirit guides and the elevated spirits are going to remove fundamentalists like us and then take us off to be re-educated. And so they think the rapture is going to be a wonderful thing. And then when we come back at the end of the tribulation, some of them might still be alive and think, oh, there they come. They're coming back. Well, it is us coming back, but not because we've been re-educated. Been glorified, and we're going to return with Jesus, who with the word of his mouth is going to destroy them all.
Amen.
Just a plug here for the Tribulation UFO Alien Invasion. About 10,000 downloads on Sermon Audio, and it's just audio. But look that up if you haven't heard it yet. It's a message you ought to hear, and I've been talking about redoing it sometime, maybe update things, but it's called the Tribulation UFO Alien Invasion. There's two parts. All right, real quick, we got time for a couple of comments. Brian?
Speaking of alien invasions, have you seen anything about something called Project Bluebeam, where they've developed this technology to make it appear like a giant beast is rising out of the sea, for example? So that could be part of the strong delusion.
I've seen some of the stuff China's done over there in the sky.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm telling you, if I didn't know any better, I would have thought there was really something going on.
Absolutely.
And it's laser technology. Laser and what's the other one from Star Wars?
Holographic.
Holographic, yeah. It's like the science fiction tells you what they want to do. Well, God says when they put their minds to it, there's nothing they can imagine that they won't be able to do. That's God saying that.
Exactly.
Back in Genesis. Janie?
I was skimming through channels today, and I jumped on to 17.7, which I don't know yet. For some reason, I'm getting it now. And these two gentlemen were selling T-shirts for when Pride Week comes in,
mm-hmm.
and they were selling all different kinds of stuff for the gays and the LGBTQ.
Yeah.
And now they're starting to make DVDs for kids.
Yeah.
So that they can tell them it's okay to be that way.
But you know what? Disney and Nickelodeon and the public schools beat them to it.
Well, yeah.
I'm Nickelodeon.
Yeah. Johnny? You have to be my last one. We got to get... Go ahead.
So the thing about, you know, having a camera be posted on just 20 people, I remember it was a joke about something just like that where they'd say something like, you know, poor people protesting the war. Also, poor 4,000 non-workers.
Yeah. That's what it was really like at times. Yeah.
Yep, so.
All right. Well, let's get into our Bible study now with a... word of prayer, and we'll open and ask my wife, Jenny, if she would, open Bible study prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for all you've done for us. We thank you for this time together. Thank you for the fellowship of family in Christ. We do long for your return. It might even be tonight while we're meeting here today. Pray for Greg as he preaches the word. Help us to not be hearers only, but doers of the word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. We're going to read tonight. I think I got six passages to read. So we'll start with Matthew 23:37, Jenny Albaugh. 2 Peter 3:9, Mary. Hebrews 4:14-15, Johnny. 1 Corinthians 4:14-16, Brian. Galatians 5:16-17, Darren. And then Galatians 5:24-25, Darren, you go ahead and read that one too. We'll just have you read both of those. All right. Did you get that, by the way?
Everybody? I need to find mine.
Yours was Matthew 23:37.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Wait till you get my age. Of course, I have to chisel. All right, walk worthy of God is what we're calling tonight's study. 1 Thessalonians 2, 7 through 12. We're going to read those verses, and I'm going to have you join me on the even, so I'll begin with the odd. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe, as ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you into his kingdom and glory. Amen?
Amen.
So this section is very personal, as Paul reveals his heart toward God's people. Verses 7 and 8 we read there, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. Now, I'm kind of old school, and I've always loved the preachers who just shoot straight and didn't try to sound like they were leading a study in romper room. And so I may come off a little harsh sometime, like during the current events update.
Yeah.
But you know what? If I seem a little harsh to you, you just need to grow up.
Amen.
That's really it. You know, when I first got saved, I started going to church. That's how I was like, whew. You know, sometimes these guys come in, I thought fire was going to come out of their mouths, you know.
Good. Amen.
And but then I realized, you know why they preach like that? Because sometimes it's righteous indignation. It's being consumed with a love for God and wanting to see Him be glorified and being disgusted at the apostasy and so forth and so on and what have you. So, what I can tell you is that if you think that that means that I walk around here all the time and I talk to people the way I do sometimes when I'm talking about sin and things, that's not the way it is, because I don't walk around with a bunch of people who are proud of their sin here.
Amen.
Nobody comes in here and says, this is my sin, this is how I identify myself, and you will accept me in this sin. And if they did, then I would be very confrontational. And if they wouldn't repent, I'd say, hit the road, Jack, and don't come back until you repent. Yeah. No, I guess that was kind of punny there, but I won't enlighten it on it. It's a personal joke. But, you know, most of the people you know who have stopped coming here didn't hear me say, hit the road. All I did was tell them, this is what the Bible teaches. This is where we're going to stand. And if you don't like that, then they do hit the road.
Yeah,
and so that makes it a little easier. But you people around here, I don't walk around on there chewing you out and barking at you and throwing things and all that kind of thing, because that's not the way you treat people. And when I'm preaching, if I'm preaching and someone says, well, I took that personally, well, that's on them, because I'm not preaching at anybody. When I was talking about the queers and everything, I didn't name a particular. I'm just saying that sin in general. You know what? If you're committing adultery, you're disgusting in God's sight. Repent. If you're a thief, if you're committing embezzlement, if you're a rapist, or you've forced yourself on people in any way, shape, or form sexually, you know, any number of sins I could name. And we preach hard against every one of those. But there's only one sin today, or one collective group of sinners, who are demanding that we accept their identity as that sin.
And not call it sin.
And they don't want you to call it sin, but that's not even if they want you to promote it. They demand that you accommodate and promote it.
And join them.
And join them. They demand that you become an ally. So I don't apologize one bit for being harsh and taking a strong stand against that stuff. But, you know, you come in here, you are a brother and sister in Christ, then you're family.
Mm-hmm.
I treat you just like family. And if you come in here and you're not saved, you're not quite family, but you have to be born again, born into the family of God, but we'll still treat you so many ways, as John says, you're bound to lie like one of them. So we desire a relationship based upon mutual love.
Amen.
And I'm not aware of anybody treating anybody bad in this place, but I'll tell you this, I would never put up with it. I'd never put up with anybody not treating somebody with respect. There have been some times, and I'm not going to name names or anything, there have been some times where I had to take people aside and say, listen, that's just not right. And thankfully, I've never had people return and be so belligerent that I had to get stern or anything with them. People usually realize that when you say that, they say, you know, I know, I'm sorry. That's the right attitude. You know, because all of us can have a bad day. All of us can, you know, have a time where we might even get snippy with people. You know, Jenny and I, believe it or not, there's a time or two there where we've gotten snippy with each other. And you know what happens? Well, you know, we calm down, and then she apologizes. No, but confession is good for the heart and soul, and I have apologized on a number of occasions. And if there's ever a time I didn't, I'm sorry now. But that's attitude. Forgiveness is hand in hand with love. If you're going to have a love relationship, then there has to be forgiveness. And if you can't forgive somebody, then you're going to be in trouble with God. Jesus said you have to be forgiving if you expect your Heavenly Father to be forgiving. He's talking about people who are already believers. He's not talking about the unsaved world. But there are a lot. There are several people who never come here because they're unforgiving. And what do? We pray for them. And according to the Bible, if I did something, I'm not aware of it, and if it's me, they should have come to me and said, you know, I don't like it. There's something you did. Or if it was one of you. But right now, I don't know why they stopped. It's not everybody. I'm not going to get into particulars of who I'm talking about, but there are just several cases where people stopped coming, and I'm well aware of the fact that they've made it clear that they can't, they have a bitterness and unforgiveness toward people. Yeah. But they won't try to be reconciled. They won't say what it is. So, what do you do? Nothing. I'm not a mind reader. Scripture with Scripture. The heart of God is expressed by Jesus toward the inhabitants of Jerusalem at the end of His ministry. Who has, Jenny Alba, you have Matthew 23:37. Think of it, this verse in terms of what we're talking about tonight.
O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not.
See the tenderness there? Mm-hmm. He's sickened by what he's seeing in Jerusalem. He knows they're about to kill him. Not just the high priest, not just the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They're going to have crowds of people yelling, crucify him. And he knows all about it. He knows it. And yet he still has that tender heart toward them that if they would repent. And he says, why are they not repenting? Because they don't know God's word. They don't even know what time of day it is. It's the day of their visitation. The Messiah has come. The 69 weeks of Daniel. The clock was set. If they'd done a countdown from Artaxerxes' commandment, they would know that it's time for the Messiah. But they were ignorant. Ignorance breeds sin. So then back in our text, verse 9, for you remember, brethren, our labor and travail for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. In other words, they didn't even take pay because they didn't want anybody to say, oh, these people are mooches. And they're just preachers. Yeah, these preachers, I take your money, that kind of thing. And he says, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Well, I don't, and there's other places we don't, I'm not going to get into it tonight in specifics, but I can do that for you if you need the scriptures, that there's nothing wrong with paying a preacher. A preacher who is doing full-time work has to pay his bills. And on the other hand, there's something wrong with preachers who have houses, plural, and they're all bigger than everybody's in the congregation, and they have cars that cost twice as much as anything that most, or at least the average guy is driving, and then some of these preachers are even buying not just airplanes, which is not, you know, that's yeah, there are a lot of preachers through the years who weren't rich that were able to get airplanes. Lester Roloff was one of them, you know. He'd been better off if he'd taken the bus, but that's how he died, and the plane went down. But, you know, some of these guys are buying, like, jets, private jets and things. Something wrong with that. But there's nothing wrong with taking care of your preacher, taking care of your pastor. I haven't had to worry about it. God's provided for Jenny and I. But if it came down to it, I wouldn't hesitate to come up here and I'd turn off the live stream. But I'd say, you know, hey, folks, I got a little problem here. And if you want to help me out, then I'm just making you aware of the fact. And if you don't help me out, then I'll try to find another way. And if I can't, well, I'll go move in with my parents and you'll find another pastor. And my mom says, oh, no, you won't. I'll be living in a van down by the river. Amen. But regardless of response, this should describe our efforts toward lost souls. So as a pastor, I can say, even if people don't show gratitude and they don't ever try to do anything to help you out or whatever, that isn't going to stop me from preaching. And you notice I never said I was going to quit the ministry. Even if I ever quit being your pastor, if I'm still able-bodied and can talk, I'll still be preaching.
Amen. Amen.
Now, I'm talking in hypothetics here. I have no reason to believe anything like that's going to happen. But I've seen men go through it. And I went through it when I was in my 20s. And I got bounced out of a denominational church because a schizophrenic called the headquarters and said I was preaching crazy stuff like the stuff that I teach about being eternally secure and the King James Bible being the Word of God, the pre-trib rapture and the millennium. And I was going into details about the millennium and what that's going to be like. And that was just too crazy for this lady who was a schizophrenic. And so she calls the board up in Columbus, Ohio there for the Ohio Association of Free Will Baptists, and they all showed they have absolutely no spiritual discernment, didn't have any idea they were talking to a schizo, and then they come down without following the Bible and even confronting me with it and even to talk to me about it and said, you're out, and if you don't leave, we're going to lock the doors, put chains on the doors, and have you arrested if you try to get in. Nicolaitanism, too. You know, powers outside of the local church come in and ruling things and all that kind of thing. So that happened to me when I was in my 20s, and I quit the ministry and died. Never to be heard from again. No, I just told him, I said, hey, you people are going to answer to God.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go out here and keep preaching.
Amen.
And that's what I've been doing ever since. I hope I never have to do that again, but if I did, I'd do it. So the heart of Christ was expressed by the Apostle Peter in his description of God's desire for lost souls. We have, I think it's Mary, going to read 2 Peter 3:9. And our
The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
See, Paul said, you know, no matter what, I'm going to preach the gospel. Why? Because he has the heart of God who says he's not willing that any should perish. I don't want to see anybody die and go to hell. You take me, the biggest flamer you can find out on the streets during a pride parade. He could be in a G-string or whatever. Bring him up here, and if he'll listen to me preach the gospel, I'll preach it to him. I'll look away while I'm doing it, but I'll preach the gospel.
Yeah.
Amen. I don't want to see any of those people go to hell.
Nope.
I've heard people say, well, it's too bad we can't get a plane, just drop napalm on that place. Well, not only would you send a lot of people to hell, but you know, the sodomites, but there's all kinds of innocent kids and people in those things too. So you have to just think like God. God is long-suffering toward those people. We will be too. I won't put up with them coming in and causing trouble and blaspheming and all that kind of thing. But we are long-suffering toward them and we'll preach the gospel to them. So then verse 10 says, ye are witnesses and God also how holily, that's meaning they were living in a holy manner, and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. Now, these men were not sinless. The apostles were not sinless. Mm-hmm. And they had their tiffs and they had their disagreements. And Paul and Barnabas split up over a disagreement over Mark. And Demas, you know, John and I were talking about this a couple last week or something, that Demas gets a bad rap. But he left Paul because of this present world, meaning he wanted to go home. And there's been preachers going to, by the dozens, are going to be apologizing to Demas up in heaven. Because they tell everybody he committed apostasy and totally fell away from the faith. And the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says he loved this present world. And then it goes on to name Titus and others who did the same thing. Next verse. What's it mean? It means Paul felt betrayed because they wanted to go home. And you'll see people do that. Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ. But they'll do things you think, oh, that just seems like a wrong thing to do. And sometimes you'll see them do things and you'll think, well, they must be backslidden. Not even outright sin, but things you just think, well, what are they doing that for? But what Paul's saying is, we came and behaved ourselves. We lived holily, justly, and unblameably. And he uses those words. We behaved ourselves among you that believe. You know, there are a lot of Christians, if they could just behave themselves, they'd have it half-licked.
That's true.
And just some Christians that cannot behave, that in the sense that he's using it here.
Mm-hmm.
is that they just, you know what? Just be faithful. All you got to do is don't try to do extraordinary things and be the next great Christian, you know, this and that. Try just being faithful. You know, you read your Bible and you pray. We're always going to feel inadequate. We're always going to feel like we could study more. We could always pray more. God said pray without ceasing. He didn't say pray like an expert.
Amen.
Just said pray without ceasing. It doesn't mean you pray and you never do anything else. It just means you pray and you have a regular prayer life and you just don't stop. Till you get raptured out here, have a daily prayer life. 2 or 3 times a day, morning, noon, and night. Read your Bible. Study your Bible. Attend church faithfully. Give to the ministry faithfully. Preach the gospel faithfully. Give out gospel tracts faithfully. You just do things you're supposed to do faithfully, and you'll be in the top. You'll be the cream of the crop among Christians today because very few Christians are faithful.
Yeah.
It's no secret. Brother Darren, you know, he's a little new to this. And I told him very early on, I said, Darren, you just do these things and you will be floored above people. Some people have been saved for decades.
Yeah. Yep.
How sad is it, but it is true. So this is the intention of all true men of God, and I say men in the general sense, including you women. But this is the intention. If you are a true man or woman of God, then you want to follow this blueprint. You want to live a life that is holy. It doesn't say sinless. Holy means separated to God. Means even when you mess up, people know your intentions are good. Even when you mess up, they know that that's not that's the exception in your life. That the rule is you serve the Lord and you're separated unto Him, holy. And then justly and unblameably, you don't know what those words mean, look them up. But as your pastor, I can only tell you that I have tried to follow this example from Paul in order to be that example to you.
Amen.
If you don't think I do that, then you shouldn't be here. If you don't think that I'm living a life that's separated unto God, if you think I'm an unjust person in the way I deal with human beings, if you think my life is not unblameable. Now, I'm not talking about things that happened, you know, decades ago. We're not out to dig up each other's past, but I'll say this, you know, I never cheated on my wife, this one or the first wife, who's now deceased, but, you know, I can tell you that, you know, as your pastor, I'm not stealing money. I'm not, I don't know, make a list of the things that pastors do to ruin their ministries. I'm not doing those things. But I'll tell you this, I'm one of those guys that if I were, I wouldn't be able to stand myself. I'd quit.
Amen.
I'd say, again, I wouldn't stop preaching the gospel. In my failures, I would still continue to preach the gospel. But if I wasn't fit to be a pastor, I couldn't stand up here.
Amen.
Now, I know that doesn't mean I'm sinless. There would be no pastors. But living a life as it's described here, separated unto God, justly and unblameable, that's what all Christians, by the way, not pastors, but all Christians should then model this. I'm doing it because it's my duty and privilege to be that example to you. But you do it. All believers should do it because all of us want to please our Father in heaven. If that's your motive, that's going to be a real game changer in your life. Once your motive in life is to please God above all, changes everything. And I just want to mention this. I mean, we try to help believers understand the Bible and become better Bible students so that they can become influences on other people's lives. We put up this website. And if you go to the website, we've got under sermons, you can just click there and it's a catch-all. And you just scroll down a little bit and right there you can access with me and John all listed in these sermons. I believe if it's what I remember right. There's 3,259 sermons.
Whoa. Wow.
You can listen to a sermon, one sermon a day for 10 years and still not catch up.
Wow. What a
blessing. Now, why are we doing that? We're doing that because we want anybody who wants to learn the Word to find a Bible education right there that you would have to pay about $100,000 to go to college and seminary to get, and you wouldn't get, in most seminaries, you wouldn't get that.
Yep.
You'd come away with a useless piece of paper.
Yeah. Amen. Right.
Cemeteries. But we're not doing it, I don't mention this a lot, but I'm just showing you this. Because this is what we're trying to do, and by example, and all you have to do then, if you find anybody who wants to learn the Word, take them here.
Amen.
Free of charge. I have a pastor's blog that I'm hoping to pick that back up, but it's got like 25 or 30 things on it. Under pages, I'm not going to list them all, but we have like each one of these pages, you go there, about Jesus Christ. Go there, and there's all these 5-minute messages about Jesus, and then other stuff as you go down, other things, other references. I did back in my 2008, man, that's almost 15 years ago, that I did this series on introducing Jesus, videos I recorded outside.
In the backyard.
In the backyard, yeah, our old backyard. And then that's different pages like that about the Bible and then things about our church and so forth. And then under resources, charts,
oh, yes.
Information on vaccines and things like that. But also we have memes that you can use on social media, PDF downloads, including an entire King James Bible, books and all kinds of things, all free of charge. Photo albums, studies by others. And then you click here. And verse 36, and then we'll close. Read that with me. Be ye therefore 24 hours a day.
Your Father also is merciful.
BBF Radio. BBF Ohio Radio.
These verses, but the overlying rule.
And then if you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, hit the contact button there. Why are we doing that? We're following their example. The example, they didn't have the internet. Yes, but they made themselves available freely to anybody, and that. Book of Acts says they turned the world upside down. Mm-hmm. Well, the whole world has access to this. Yep. If they speak English, then they've got all that at their fingertips. And then you have an opportunity to then share that with other people. And who did? Did you have a hand up, Darren, or both of you? With Darren first.
I just wanted to mention, I sent you a link to your email, and if you use the link that I sent you, it'll actually show all of the series like in order, and you can go in and see like individual books and stuff.
And that's in the BBF Ohio at Proton Mail? Okay, I'll check that out. Brian?
I work with a lot of people that live in India, and I even found Bible Believers India taught by Pastor Kiran Kumar, and he teaches right from the King James Bible, and I've shared that with some of the people I work with. So.
Yeah.
It's great to see brothers around the world, brothers and sisters around the world that are doing the same thing we are.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah,
amen.
Praise the Lord. India's got, what, 1 billion people
in
that one country?
Probably 10 people, isn't it?
So that was a main objective of the incarnation we celebrated at Christmas time when Jesus was born of a virgin. God became a man in Christ Jesus and lived holily and justly and unblameably before men. That's how Jesus lived. We have Hebrews 4. Who's got that one? Hebrews 4, 14 through 15, where this is explained, described.
Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin.
So we don't worship some high and mighty God that's not, it's so above us that he won't come down to our level. Our God is high and mighty, but he came down and walked among men. He lived with all the infirmities, meaning he got tired, he got hungry, and he had to put up with people. Yeah, and then he turned around and demonstrated his humility. But he put up with all the infirmities that you and I do, and yet without sin. And so he was that example. He didn't come to be an example. He came to die for our sins. But yet, as he lived and died, he was an example. His purpose was to pay for the sins of the whole world. Along the way, he was exactly what we read about here in 1 Thessalonians 2:10. And then verse 11 says, "As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children." Now, I want to point this out, that it's not to be called father, but to treat believers as a father would. I have to say that's a difficult thing these days, because they've turned fathers into something that, you know, really in past generations they wouldn't even recognize. What you see fathers on TV, for example, and they're all bumbling idiots. And none of them are providing any spiritual leadership in the home or anything like that. But a real loving father, especially one who is a Christian and following God's word, is going to be the leader in his home, spiritually and otherwise. And he's going to love his children. I've been doing this series about the Bible and talking about how we got our Bible and why books like the Apocrypha are not part of our Bible. And I was quoting in one of them, it's called the, I'm trying to think of which one, I think it's Sirach, where he says, basically, if you pamper your child, then you'll end up being afraid of him. And if you play with them, then you'll ruin the child. That's one good reason to keep that book out of the Bible. There's a time where you pamper your children. There's a time to play with your children. Now, you do have rules. You have borders. You demand morality and that sort of thing. But there's also a time to demonstrate your love by pampering them and playing with them and that sort of thing. And that's the way it is as a pastor. There's a time where sometimes you need to hear what dad's got to say in the house. Family meeting, you know, or something along those lines. And he has to lay down the law. Sometimes the kids need to be told they got to get the grades up or they're not going to be able to do what they're wanting to do this summer. You know, there's times where kids have to be told you're spending way too much time on the video games. We're going to limit you to a certain amount of time every day. There's time for rules and things and, you know, boundaries and that sort of thing. But then a good dad is also going to be, he's not going to be their best friend, by the way. That can happen really more later in life, I think. You become, when your kids get married and that kind of thing, you become more like friends. But when they're in your house, there's got to be that respect for authority. But then even in that position of authority, a father can still pamper that kid when he needs it. Yep. Can play with that kid. And it develops a special relationship. And that's what we come here and I give it to you as straight as I can from God's word. And then we go downstairs and just goof off. Amen. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they give you a hug. Sometimes they'll sit down and let you just blubber, you know. And I'll let you go on. Then sometimes we're just joking around laughing. But it's not just pastor to you. That's how we should be with each other, all of us. All of us should have that attitude, one toward another.
Amen.
That's what's called the ministry. There are those of us who lead the congregation, but everyone I'm looking at right now is a minister. Everyone I'm looking at right now has a ministry. You are to preach the gospel just as much as any pastor or preacher. You have people in your life that they need your encouragement. They need you to sometimes tell them what they need to do as far as boundaries. Give them God's law, so to speak, and let them know this is wrong. This is right. This is how it is. And then there's times where they need pampered. There's times where you need to joke around with them. It's the same. the ministry. And we want to see people saved and then discipled with a fatherly concern. Who's got 1 Corinthians 4:14-16? Brian, go ahead and read that.
I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me.
See, Paul didn't want to be called Father Paul. He wanted to be a spiritual father figure.
It's not a title.
Not a title. And this is the desired end result here in verse 12. That ye would walk worthy of God. That's the desired effect. Pastors who are just grooming their people so they can get everything they can out of them and get their money and get their time and everything. I've seen families torn apart by fundamentalist churches who take all their time and money from them. We will never become that kind of church as long as I'm alive. What we're about is trying to help you so that you can walk and will walk worthy of God. That's the whole point. That includes church attendance and supporting the ministry and things like that, but there's so much more to it. That's not the end. It's a means to an end. Helping believers continue their walk in God's grace. That's what it's all about. The journey. We simply guide believers into a walk with God in His Spirit and by His Word. Let's look at Galatians 5. Darren's going to read verse 16 and 17 first.
This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one to do. These are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would.
In other words, if you put you first, you're going to fail. When you walk in the Spirit, you're putting God first. And God will lead you then to put others first before yourself. There's a place for you there, but it's not at the top of the list. Go ahead and read verses 24 and 25 now, Darren.
And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the afflictions, with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit.
Amen. You live in this. It's real simple. It's not something mystical, otherworldly. You want to walk in the Spirit? First of all, you have to be saved. You have the Spirit in you. So now what do? You sacrifice self and fill yourself with God's Word. Fill yourself with in prayer. Give yourself to Him. And when He's in control, and you're guided by His Word, His Spirit will be leading you in your walk. That's how you're walking in the Spirit. It really is simple, made complicated by religion. And so we close there, the last words of verse 12. Read verse 12 with me. That ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto His kingdom and glory. The key is to live for eternity. When that's where your heart is, when you're living with that as your goal, not to make it to heaven, you're going to heaven if you're saved, but to make it there on God's terms, rewards in heaven. You store your treasures in heaven. When that's what you're doing it right. Amen?
Amen.
Get your eyes focused on this world. It will drag you down into the ground. The Bible word for it is shipwreck.
Yeah.
Isaiah 8:22. This is very descriptive. It says, and they shall look unto the earth and behold trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. Get your eyes off God. That's your directions you're following on your Google map. But have your eyes on the Lord and He will lift you up. Psalm 121, 1 and 2 says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, upwards, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Amen? So in closing, let's close with this reading from the Apostle Peter's second epistle, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 through 11. You can read the odd with me, so I'm going to begin in verse 4. I can get to the right one here. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
All right, that's where we'll pick up. We'll pick up in 1 Thessalonians 2:13 next week. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time and your book. We thank you for what the Spirit has taught us tonight. Thank you for using me in whatever way you have to help those here in this building and those who are listening on the live stream and any who hear this in the future, Lord, to learn your word. It's all about you. It's all about glorifying Jesus Christ. And it's all about our future in your presence, in your kingdom. The 1,000-year reign of Christ and the eternal kingdom. That's what is important to the Spirit-filled Christian. And may that be what is important to everyone listening right now and to me, myself. Lord, help me to always have my eyes on that prize. And to not have my eyes on this world. We only look to this world enough to know what's going on and to then get guidance from you. And with all that's going on in this world, that can be difficult. But with your help, we ask that we can do that for your glory, to please you, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Sister Jenny Elba is going to lead us in our closing song. You can stand up here and lead us. The Goodbye Song. We've sung this once before. Some of you might remember it.
Am I supposed to be on screen?
Or? Yeah, stand up here. Face in the crowd there.
Oh.
Just like you did last time.
No, I think I was in the back last time.
Well.
All right. Goodbye, our God is watching over you. Goodbye, his mercies go before.
Request at bbfohio@protonmail.com. Raise your hand. Janie will come around and get your prayer card. And we say goodbye on three. One, two, three. See you here, there, or in the air. Good night, y'all.
Jessica,
Mommy and Jessica.
Love you, Jessica.